The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Here to get us going here, but welcome. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to see you all. Nice to be here. It's quite something. You know, that Nikki and I are doing a happy hour, and it's just, for me, it's a beautiful thing to think of different aspects to teach about, different things to tap into, and to share this with Nikki. She has a little bit different approach, but we're not completely different, and that you guys also are coming, and hopefully you're finding some value or something nice, too, with this, you know, a lot of happy hour, a lot of different avenues, maybe different ways and different emphases and stuff like this. And it makes me happy to be part of this. I feel like it's this great, beautiful thing that all of us are creating together, showing up for and exploring and talking about, sharing things about loving kindness and compassion. So thank you. Thank you all. One thing that I wanted to talk about tonight is this concept, this idea that I never heard before until I came into contact with some Buddhist teachings. And I've only heard it in a particular context when talking about the Brahma Viharas, you know, the heart practices of the early Buddhist teachings. And that is this idea of a near enemy. I mean, just those words, we don't, in, you know, contemporary English, we don't usually have this idea of a near enemy. So it's a little bit of a strange idea. Probably many of you know, if you've heard of, about the heart practices, the Brahma Viharas, the divine abodes in early Buddhist meditation. The early Buddhist teachings, they call them the Brahma Viharas. They're also called the immeasurables, but near enemies. So a near enemy is something that looks like what you want it to be, but isn't quite. Something that looks like loving kindness, but isn't loving kindness. And I was thinking about, do we have something equivalent in contemporary English now? And the only thing that I can think of, and this may not be familiar with all of you, but this quite some time ago, maybe 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, Jim Collins was this big business leader, and he wrote a book, and I think it's called From Good to Great. And he had this saying, good is the enemy of great. Just this idea of, if it's like, feels like, oh, it's close enough. I don't need to do any more. I could talk a little bit about good is the enemy of great, but I'm not going to. Instead, I'm going to say that the near enemy of loving kindness, metta, is something that we might get tripped up and think like, oh, it's good enough. But and feel like maybe it's the same. But I think probably many of us recognize that it's not quite the same. And what is the near enemy? This idea of attached love or conditional love. I'm using this word love. Maybe the near enemy is this attached love as opposed to metta, as opposed to goodwill, as opposed to an unconditional wish for people to be happy. I think as you, all of you probably know, metta and its aspiration is unconditional. That is, it doesn't matter what you do, what you give me in return, what you say, whether or not you are grateful, what you've done, or whether I even like you. Loving kindness is this unconditional goodwill. Or it doesn't, so it's not exactly love, right, in the way that we often think about or experience love, but it's unconditional positive regard, maybe, not closing one's heart. Unconditional. For me, it feels like warm-heartedness. I don't know if everybody can relate to that expression, but some, you know, this idea with no strings. But usually when we talk about the word love, or when we think about in our lives that we've experienced love, there are some little strings or some conditions. Maybe they're not obvious, and maybe they're not really strong ropes. Maybe they're just a little bit of strings. But when we start to explore love, when we start to explore metta and loving kindness, we will naturally, of course, we will run into or discover or experience those places in which our affection, maybe if I use that word, maybe affection feels sometimes has a little bit more strings associated with it. Maybe not too, but. And the first thing to say about this is that any warm-heartedness is good. It's okay. It's part of the human experience. If it's not completely unconditional, it doesn't mean that it being the near enemy, we have to like throw it out or be dismissive of it. Of course not. Of course not. And maybe one of the key things I'd like to say tonight is that it's through experiencing and examining, investigating, being with our experiences of love, we are in the more conventional experiences of it, helps us to understand loving kindness. It's only through seeing and experiencing the ways that we feel disappointed or we might have expectations with those we love. It's only through noticing that and experiencing that that we can contrast it with or learn about something that doesn't have little strings or conditions. So it's an integral part of our exploration, development, growth, cultivation of loving kindness is for us to become familiar with love in our regular relationships and the relationships we have with those around us, our partners, our family, our friends. So if we discover that our loving kindness does have some expectations, I've been sending you loving kindness, you should be treating me better, or I don't know exactly how it might show up. But it's not to regard this as a type of failure or something that we need to get rid of or anything like that. Any sense of I'm not doing it right, we can just discard that and instead say, what is it that I can learn from this? What is it that I can learn from when I notice in my relationships there are some of these attachments, some clinging, some conditions? And just use that to support us in our cultivation of loving kindness. To notice, how does it feel? When does it arise? What are the conditions that support more having a feeling of a conditional love? And bring a warm-heartedness to that experience, to that investigation, so that we can fold it into our cultivation or development of loving kindness, just like we would with mindfulness practice, where we bring in all aspects of our lives. We can do the same with loving kindness practice. All those times in which we're not feeling or experiencing a loving kindness that is unconditional or warm-hearted. So just an encouragement to use all aspects of your life, even when those times when you are discovering that there are some strings, some attachments, some conditions to your care or your goodwill for others. Okay, so with that as an introduction, we can do some loving kindness practice now. We can begin by taking alert posture. And often I say an upright posture, but of course with loving kindness practice especially, it doesn't have to be upright. But there, it's helpful if there's an alertness, if we are set or clear in our intention of wanting to cultivate loving kindness during our meditation session, allowing our heart to soften and open, have some warmth. So with this posture that expresses our intention to be alert and has some ease with it, and just check in with the body in general. And see if we might bring some warm-hearted attention to any areas that has tension, that has tightness, constriction, some uncomfortableness. It might be that bringing a warm-hearted attention allows something to shift, relax. No guarantees. But for any of you who have tried it, bring in some real strong aversion or some hatred towards our uncomfortable experiences doesn't usually help. But whether or not bringing a warm-hearted attention to any tightness or uncomfortableness in the body makes it go away, independent of that, this is a wonderful practice. Wonderful practice to meet something that's not exactly like we prefer, to meet it with some warm-heartedness. Don't underestimate how powerful this can be. Maybe like shining some warm sunshine on those areas of the body that feel like they could use a little warmth, sunshine. And then allowing the awareness to just rest on the sensations of breathing. In the same kind of way, the warm-hearted attitude or a sense of goodwill. Just feeling the sensations of breathing, not thinking about it, but experiencing the sensations. Allowing the breath to be just how it is. It doesn't need to be different. We're just noticing. And if you find your mind wandering, you don't have to make it a problem. We can bring our warm-heartedness to this as well. And just bring our attention back to the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's really easy to have a warm-hearted feeling, have a sense of goodwill, care, respect, love, benevolence. This might be an imaginary being, kittens, puppies, babies. Might be somebody that you don't really have a relationship with, but they've impacted your life and you have a lot of gratitude and warmth towards them. A teacher or a leader of some sort. Or it might be somebody that you do have a relationship with. And you have an uncomplicated relationship. So bringing the lovable being to mind, we can repeat these phrases to remind ourselves of our intention of cultivating loving kindness, of staying with this warm-hearted feeling. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can be helpful to check in with the body and see if there are any sensations, experiences of warm-heartedness or spaciousness, even some just general feelings of ease or well-being. And to use those physical sensations, those bodily sensations to support the cultivation of loving kindness. To support maybe a softening, opening of the heart in whatever way you understand that. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And we can build on this loving kindness that we're cultivating for the lovable being and include ourselves. Of course, we would do loving kindness for ourselves. So in the same way, you can bring either an image of yourself or perhaps the felt experience of being here right now. We just modify the phrases by changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Allowing yourself to feel this intention. And again, to feel any physical or bodily sensations that are associated with this intention, this cultivation of loving kindness. And then to build on this, expand even further our loving kindness to include a friend, someone dear to us. Someone different than we started with the lovable being, if you started with the dear one. You can bring this friend or this dear one to mind. And in the same way, send them loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can be helpful to just take a moment to feel into the physical bodily sensations. How does it feel right now? It might be that you don't feel anything in particular. It's perfectly fine. However, you might also feel maybe a little bit of tenderness or openness or spaciousness. And if so, can you allow that to get as big as it would like? Somehow to abide, to dwell. And that bodily experience, even if it's kind of subtle or maybe diffuse, and if you're not sure what I'm talking about, maybe what do you imagine or if you did know, what would it be like? allowing yourself to be nourished, supported by those experiences, those sensations. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground, feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea that we can bring all aspects of our experience to help support some loving kindness practice, including those times when we notice that the love that we have has some attachments, has some strings, or is not so conditional. That's okay. What can we learn from that? How can that support this, our loving kindness practice, this more unconditional loving kindness? Instead of thinking that it has to be 100% pure in order for it to have any value or something like that. So it can be really helpful to integrate our experiences or any new understandings or ideas if we articulate them in some kind of way. So I'd like to now put you into small groups where you have an opportunity to talk about this. There's a few things that you can talk about. You can talk about the idea of how all experiences of love can help support the cultivation of loving kindness, all the experiences we have. Or you can talk about the experience of what was that meditation like that we just did, and did a little bit of emphasis on experiencing in the body. And was that supportive or helpful? Or maybe it wasn't supportive, maybe it wasn't helpful. So put you into a few groups here, and we'll... meet for 12 minutes. Be in groups of three or four. And it's the person that has the most letters in their screen name that they have right there is the one that will go first, and the one that has the least letters in their screen name will go last, so to kind of help that. So, and it's there'll be a little timer, so meeting for 12 minutes. It's really helpful if not one person talks for 9 minutes, right, or 6 minutes or something. I think it's most fruitful if maybe you just don't say everything you have to say, just say one idea, and then allow it to go to the next person, and then go to the third person, and then to come around, back around to you. And then maybe you've learned something, or they've reminded you of something, and now you have something new and fresh to say that you didn't say before. Or maybe it's just one additional thing, but an encouragement to not say everything at once and to leave plenty of room for everybody else. And of course, in these meetings, we don't give advice to each other. It's more just an opportunity for us to practice in a warm-hearted way. and for us to explore and integrate our own understandings and our own experiences. Okay, so yeah, do a quick look at this. Yep. So have fun. Great. So welcome back. And would anybody like to make a comment? What was that like? Did you have some new insights, or was it nice to connect with others, or anything you'd like to share about that?
I can share.
Great. Thank you, Kim.
I had an insight thanks to a question that Kathleen asked me. I was talking about different kinds of love, and she said, well, would you consider all of those metta? And when I thought about it, I thought, yes, because in each of the things that I mentioned, I could feel an expansion. So that would, I'd classify that as one aspect of metta. Yeah.
Nice, this connection between expansion and metta as opposed to a closing or a contraction, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, so if I, you know, see a mother and child and I feel that, or, you know, beautiful flower or a dog, or think about my mom or my grandchildren, that's all, it's all opening my heart, and I can feel my heart opening. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Kim. Yeah, heart opening. Thank you. And anybody else? Oh, Michael, I can see you have your hand up. Would you like to say?
I have huge mudita in this small group, hearing from people from other parts of the country. It just warms my heart that this happy hour is drawing from all over, and the practice is sweet, and deep bows to you all, and especially you, Diana, for generously doing this many evenings a week. Oh, and it seems like you're doing Monday night YouTube Dharma. That's like a little added bonus, but anyway, deep bows.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Yeah, I saw Christine, she put in her name that she's at Silver Spring, and I used to live out there. I lived in the district for quite a few years, so it's a little soft spot for me out there. So welcome, Christine. Anybody else? Well, I guess we have maybe 1 minute left, but anybody want to say something or make a comment? I'm sorry, Trudy, did you put your hand up?
Take time to do the other way, but I did wave. I just wanted to share. I took a walk around the little pond here where I live, and there are baby ducks and these little golden balls of fur running all over, and the mother was just clacking and quacking and making sure they didn't go too far. And it was, such a loving scene, really, that I just wanted to share that thought with you.
Yeah, it's hard not to smile, right, when you see these little ducklings. It's little chicks, fluffy, yes. Okay. So it's 7 o'clock. I want to respect your time, but thank you all. Thank you all for sharing this practice. And, you know, in my view, this is one way that the world gets changed, is that people practice loving kindness and they connect and talk about it and can make a difference. So I'm going to unmute us all. So if you'd like, we can say goodbye together. And you can say thank you too. So bye-bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Nice to do matter with you all.
Yasna.
Abraham.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Diana.
Yes, yes. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah.